it's nice. I've found, you know, my voice more. You know, I really enjoy being around my teammates, my coaches. It's been a different environment. Just really enjoying the experience of playing football, playing with these group of guys.
You wouldn't expect a seven-time Super Bowl champion quarterback to be finding his voice at age 44. But after 20 years under Bill Belichick, you can kind of see why Tom Brady seems to be finally finding his. And that voice, it turns out, is funnier than I thought, more candid than I thought, and dare I say it, even kind of human. So today, with his Buccaneers playing their first preseason game on Saturday, we dive deep into the new Tom Brady and what might make the second season of his second act another success. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, August 12th. This is ESPN Daily. So, Jenna Lane, I need you to clear up something that's very important here for me. Are we still doing this whole Tampa Bay thing? What's your hometown calling itself these days?
I need to reach out to the mayor's office to find out, because people are certainly calling it that. They're also calling it Champa Bay.
Jenna Lane covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for ESPN.
Actually, I think Champa Bay might be kind of what they're going with, because the Lightning did just win the Stanley Cup again. So I think Brady's having to share a little bit of the spotlight. The city just really likes these boat parades.
Yes, yes. No, there are, Jenna, there are so many boat parades in Tampa, in Florida, in general. But for the Bucs, the quest for their next one, it begins this weekend, because they have their first preseason game on Saturday against the Bengals, and the captain of this ship leading the entire parade is going to be Tom Brady, who is starting season number 22 at age 44, while also coming off of knee surgery this offseason. So if there was ever a player who had zero reason to play in a preseason game, this would be the guy. But what are you hearing?
Oh, he's going to play. He's going to play, according to Bruce Arians, one or two series.
No, we'll just wait and see how it goes. You know, it's normally a drive or two. Just it won't be many.
A lot of people have said, why would Brady even want to risk going out there? But if you watch practices, Brady does not like to give up reps. He likes to have the reps. And while he's been out there practicing with his teammates, and they have had some live periods, they've started to have live periods, but I think also he wants to go out there, and I think he really wants to feel good on his surgically repaired knee, which he hasn't been wearing a knee brace for the first time in 14 years. He says, I don't need it. So he's feeling pretty confident without it. And I asked him, I go, is this just a thing that you're doing without pads, or are we going to see this from you when the pads come on and in games? And he says, I don't need it anymore. So it looks stable. And I have to say, his legs look a little bit bigger.
Ooh, so Tom Brady had been skipping leg day until recently, is what you're suggesting.
That's a good way of putting it. Well, you know, he needed this knee surgery for quite a while, and he went through the amount of work that he and Alex Guerrero had to do to get him feeling stable enough to play. And it was a lot. I mean, Mike Evans said he was hurt pretty bad. We just didn't know the extent of it. And people on the team didn't even know the extent of it. But he would try, like, he would tape it pre-practice. He would try taping it at 7:30 in the morning. He would even try leaving the tape on at night, just trying to do all these things so that he could have some semblance of stability so that he'd be able to play. So I think it looks good out there. I was kind of waiting to see, all right, well, how's he going to look when he's running? You know, when he's flush from the pocket.
Yeah, when he's testing it, yeah.
Yeah, well, and a few practices of seeing the defense really get after it and seeing a number of defenders get into the backfield, he looks fine.
So I'm curious, given all of this, Jenna, like, you're at practices. What is the intensity like at this point?
Well, I've heard on two occasions now Coach Bruce Arians not mince words in expressing his dissatisfaction with the way the offense has looked. On Monday, he said,
probably the worst offensive practice we've had in 3 years.
And then on coming off of their first off day that they had in camp, they get off days every 5 days, somewhere around there. He said that they practice like horse bleep.
I'm really not pleased. I thought we were really, really sluggish. It was just a horse practice. Hopefully we'll get better in pads tomorrow.
So he doesn't mince words. He's not afraid to call guys out or the team out in the media. And I have to say, practice has been pretty intense. You know, they have an understanding of the expectations of a Super Bowl champion, and they realize they've got a lot of work to do to be able to live up to that, because every week a new team is going to be coming in here, or they're going to be going on the road, and they're going to be giving them their absolute best. They've got to be ready for it.
So I know when I see Brady, like he was at the Hall of Fame inductions, there in the audience supporting Peyton Manning, I've seen him just look really like tanned and rested and, as always, like bizarrely and suspiciously young. But but in these practices, Jenna, like how is he taking all of this? If Arians is saying stuff like that, what is Brady like on the practice field right now?
Speaking of which, I really need to get his skincare routine. I'm dying to know.
Same.
Because you're right. He does look suspicious. I need to know if it's, is it microneedling? What kind of eye cream is he using?
I can't afford
what kind
it.
Of sunblock?
All I know is that I cannot afford whatever he is doing.
Oh gosh. He must get a lot of vampire facials. I would say that. Speaking of vampires, Dante Stallworth is convinced that Brady has vampire blood. So
yeah,
I thought
can see that.
Was very funny.
That actually feels like the most plausible dermatological regimen of all the things you've mentioned. Yes.
Definitely the most interesting theory for sure. Stallworth has been a great resource on all things Brady, former teammate of his, of course, with the Patriots. But Brady definitely comes down hard on these guys. I have seen him chew teammates out, guys jumping off sides, not getting lined up right. I saw him and Antonio Brown get a little heated a few days ago, but they just were having a hard time getting on the same page, and Brown was really frustrated by that. So I saw them chat about three times during that practice, and then by the end of the practice, they were absolutely fine, and those two have really been lighting it up ever since then. So, you know, I think anytime there's an issue, he comes over to guys, he talks to them, or if he has to, he will raise his voice. He takes practice very seriously. He's very intense. And the last time they had a bad practice, we talked to Brady that day.
Just really enjoying the experience of playing football, playing with these group of guys. And you guys are catching me on a bad day today. We had a really practice. So I'm not feeling great about kind of what we did today. So here's what it is.
He was almost like apologizing for it because he understands the expectations and that they didn't live up to them on that day.
Bruce Arians coaching the team up, managing egos in public through the media, that was something that obviously a lot of people took notice of. People were wondering, wait a minute, does this mean that all is not well with him and Tom Brady early on last season? But now, what's your sense of how people have acclimated themselves to the way that Arians likes to do things?
Well, this isn't anything new, and Brady knew that when he was coming into Tampa Bay. I mean, if you watched All or Nothing with the Arizona Cardinals, he was constantly calling guys out in the media, and he would tell them, it's because I know you can take it. And you know, he deploys different motivational tactics for different guys. I know a lot of people were stunned when he did that with Brady, and the question I remember was after that Saints game.
Bruce, to see two interceptions from Tom Brady, I don't know how much you've been able to see those, but what happened on those two plays that led to the mistakes?
One was a miscommunication between him and Mike, and he thought Mike was going down the middle. It was a different coverage. Mike read it right, but Tom just overthrew it. And the other one was it was a screen pass with an outlet called, and he threw the outlet, and it was a pick six. Bad decision.
Everybody just went berserk over that. And look, just because it's not the way Bill Belichick did things, where he would just say, we're on to Cincinnati, it doesn't mean that that's what Brady wants. You know, Brady didn't stay in New England. He came down to Tampa Bay because he wanted something different. He wanted something new. And believe me, he heard from plenty of guys that he played with about Bruce Arians and the way he operates. And their relationship has been fine. They were all in Canton, Ohio until about 2 a.m., or I should say that's when they got back in from Manning's Hall of Fame induction ceremony. So all is well with them. I think they have a great relationship. It's been fun to watch that grow.
So on the defense, Jenna, because I know that Todd Bowles is back, their defensive coordinator. He got a 3-year deal. That's not surprising. He is now officially the highest paid defensive coordinator, which seems fitting given the job that he has done. What has made this work so well? Why is it looking so good, even so early?
Several reasons. One, Vita Vea. This guy's three times my size, and he is not just a space-eating defensive tackle. He can get after it. He can get into the backfield. I watched him pat down a Tom Brady pass at the goal line. And it was like the ball didn't even have a chance to leave Brady's hands. It was just boom. It was just swatted to the ground. This is a guy that made a huge difference for them in the postseason. Because if you remember, you know, they only had him for 5 games, 4 games this year, this past year. He comes back, which nobody really expected realistically. He comes back in the NFC title game and suddenly quarterbacks are having a hard time stepping into their throws. And Shaq Barrett, who, you know, he had 19 and a half sacks, you know, 2 years before. But, you know, when you kind of establish yourself as a guy like that in the league, you know, teams are going to do certain types of things to try to neutralize you. Well, they can't do that when you've suddenly got Vita Vea out there because the guy just commands so much attention.
You got to describe for the people who aren't familiar with what Vita Vea looks like, how he's built. The dude is 6'4". 347 is what the last update I have is, which is a fascinating specimen of a human being.
He really, really is. I think my favorite story about him was he visited Tahiti on a trip with some friends in college, and he saw this giant rock on the ground, and like he picked it up, and all these like bodybuilders and strongman competitors were like super, super ticked off that he managed to do that because they told him that the rock has a spirit that allows you to pick it up. So apparently, like, he moved the spirit to be able to do that.
Well, Jenna, it feels like you're describing a guy who is kind of built like a boulder picking up another boulder.
Yes, but it's crazy because the guy used to play running back, too. And at one point during camp, very early on, he chased Ronald Jones down the field. And we were like, oh, my gosh.
That's insane.
And I'm like, did you just want to show everybody, hey, I still got it? He's like, I just wanted to prove to myself that I still had it.
Well, that's what's wild is that the defense was so good last season, won a title, Todd Bowles, king of the defensive world, all of that. And Vita Vea played what, like 5 games?
It's pretty remarkable, yeah. Well, and then they've got some new life in that pass rush now, too. Joe Tryon, you know, he was their first round draft pick. And they're really excited about him being able to join their rotation because I mentioned Shaq Barrett and Jason Pierre-Paul. They want to be able to insert him in there. And, you know, he's coming along well. When you're winning reps against Tristan Wirfs, a guy that an offensive tackle that puts trees on his back in the offseason, that's another crazy story. Literally put a tree on his back.
A lot of the Buccaneers just seem to be going out into the world and conquering nature, based on what you've told me.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah. Well, you know, with Tristan too, I asked him, I was like, do you have this like checklist every offseason where like, let me see what kind of circus feat I can accomplish right now? Because the guy's putting trees on his back. He's doing these insane box jumps. And then he's doing synchronized backflips into a swimming pool with his left tackle, Donovan Smith. I mean, the guy's just, he's the most freakish athlete. And he was the state champion wrestler in Iowa. I mean, you can't make this stuff up.
Jenna, you really can't. I just Googled while you were just speaking just then. I just Googled Tristan Wirfs trees. And yeah, here he is holding a giant tree horizontally, like on his shoulders, like casually.
That just kind of serves as a reminder about, like, they're working with a set of gifts and genetics. Now, granted, they had to work very hard to hone them, but it's like they're working with a set of tools that the rest of us regular folks just are not privy to.
No, I want Tom Brady's skin regimen, and I want to know, and I want to know what I can do to, at the very least, just like, let me lift a branch. Let me squat a branch. That's probably my goal at this point. So, Jenna, I get the sense that as this defense is evolving and somehow getting better than last year, there is a personal metamorphosis that Tom Brady is going through. And I want to ask you about that after the break.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
So, Jenna, I want to be honest here. When I thought of Tom Brady pretty much before the last year or so, I envisioned something like a robot, an android, maybe, to be more generous, like part human, part robot, maybe. But now I find myself amused by him in a way that fills me with a great cognitive dissonance. So how would you describe the new version of Tom Brady that seems to have been released via software update or something? What are we watching right now?
You know, that's an interesting question. He's undergone this metamorphosis, and it's like he doesn't really care anymore what people think about him. He's less concerned about, like, stirring the pot, creating controversy. So I asked him, I was like, and I prefaced it with, my mom always says that this thing happens when you turn 40, where you just really stop caring what people think. You know who you are. You're like, this is me, take it or leave it. And he's like, yeah, yeah, that's kind of it. And it's also the fact that, look, he's not in New England anymore. And Rob Gronkowski talked about that. The fact that, you know, down here, it's a much different vibe. It's a little bit more accepted that people can cut loose. And Arian said, I love that he feels comfortable here. And, you know, one of the things I wrote about on ESPN.com on a story about Brady finding his voice was, you know, one day he wasn't even practicing and he was assisting with practice and they were doing a run install. So he's lining up in the backfield and he like enthusiastically bursts through the hole. And then he does his best Ezekiel Elliott, you know, feed me impersonation. And the crowd loved it. And it was just highly entertaining. So it's good to see that while he is very intense, he works hard and you know, holds everyone to the same high standard he holds himself to. He's also finding a way to enjoy himself. I think it's interesting because I've talked to some of his former teammates and they've said that personality, that sense of humor has always been there. He's always been a funny guy. The difference is that now other people are seeing that and he's not afraid to put it out there. I mean, he's been on some of these late night talk shows. He's talking about the fact that his daughter is the only voice of reason when he was tossing that trophy. And thank God it didn't end up at the bottom of Tampa Bay. He's making jokes about that with the avocado tequila. He's talking about
drinking in public in a way that I know he won a title, so it feels like everybody should be allowed to do that. But that's just not a thing that we saw in the same way when he was in New England, obviously.
Well, I'll tell you what, drinking in public, day drinking on the water is definitely a thing in Tampa. And I laughed because anybody that's been to Gasparilla down here, which if you don't know what Gasparilla,
what is Gasparilla?
Is, it's Tampa's version of Mardi Gras, but for pirates. And so
of
like
course.
Everybody, you're either watching it on land or you're taking part by boat, but it's this giant parade and there's tons of beads. And, you know, I've gone to it for years. I wasn't able to go the last few years, but needless to say, when I was in college, I definitely had to come get my friends passed out in people's lawns. So, I mean, I'm telling you, every Tampanian could relate to seeing him get off that boat and seeing how wobbly he was. I can attest to the challenges that arise from drinking in the hot Florida sun. It's very difficult to stay hydrated. We know how important hydration is with him. And then you consider the fact that he doesn't get much of a chance to drink. I know he can drink because Woody told me a story about him.
Wait,
what
what does Davey and Woody have on Tom Brady's tolerance here?
Oh, this epic story of they had like this barbecue night with the offensive line and or just a couple of the linemen and might have been some guy, you know, guys both sides of the ball, but you know, he just crashes it and starts chugging beer and ends up like out drinking everyone. And it was like a weeknight. Like he had to go to practice the next day. This was early Brady, like pre TB12, pre no nightshade vegetables.
Yep.
But apparently he just chugged it like a champ. So credit his Michigan roots for being able to build up that kind of tolerance, but I'm fairly confident he doesn't have that type of tolerance anymore, not with his regimen now.
No, you're describing a Tom Brady who, yeah, ate strawberries and just destroyed a keg, it sounds like.
Absolutely, yeah. But it's been fun to see his evolution. And you know, I went back and I was like, it really kind of coincided with him joining Facebook because I remember, like, it was about 2014 And all of a sudden, this guy joins Facebook, which was this huge deal because we're like, what? He's finally on social media? Really? And it's like he's posting pictures of his resume. He's posting photoshops of himself, like in a Boston Celtics uniform.
Wait, so is that where the memes started now? Because, Jenna, I now know, we all know, I think, Tom Brady as something of a meme lord. He's like all over just social media, putting out content in a way that think is threatening to all of us who also try to do that professionally. But that dude, you're saying 2014, when he joined Facebook, the seeds were already planted.
I mean, he was posting memes of himself like fighting bears and things like that. So yeah, he was doing it back in the day. And I think you could also see that when he was at the White House and he starts cracking jokes.
Well,
and we know that, remember Donald Trump, like he didn't really even want to talk about his relationship with Donald Trump. And now he's cracking jokes at the White House.
Not a lot of people, think that we could have won. And in fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
I understand that.
You understand that, Mr. President?
I was there. My jaw hit the floor.
from my living room. But I am fascinated as to what it felt like being there, because you're right. The context for all of that was that Tom Brady ran seemingly as far away as he could from the fact that he once had a Make America Great Again hat in his locker. And he didn't want to talk about it. Didn't want to touch it with a 1,000-foot pole. And then he shows up at the White House and has like stand-up material.
We had a game in Chicago where I forgot what down it was. I lost track of one down in 21 years of playing, and they started calling me Sleepy Tom. Why would they do that to me?
It was very surprising to hear him cut loose, and you know, I'm sure he ruffled some feathers by doing it, but if you take people's kind of personal opinions out of it, however it made people feel, it was downright hilarious.
Well,
it was hilarious because it was him being himself and just being present in the moment. And that's another thing I found that I've noticed it this year. There are times we talk to Tom during the week and you can tell his mind is like in another place. He's already thinking about the next game, the next opponent. But there have been instances this year where it's like, I want to say it was the week of Christmas. I think it was the week of Christmas where he just gave this epic Rob Gronkowski story.
We threw probably 60 passes, routes, and we didn't drop a ball. So it was like the ball never hit the ground. And then him, he's like, dude, that was great. That was perfect. That was just what I needed. I feel ripped now.
He was so present for that. And it was just like, man, I wish we could have this every week. This is gold. And Gronk loves it, too. He loves the fact that Tom is showing more of his personality. He says it's great for football.
But Jenna, part of my cynicism, if I'm honest here, about what we're seeing from Tom Brady, of course, is that, look, he's almost too good at it now. Like, he has to have social media people, joke writers. I mean, so just how do you see the authenticity of what you've described in tension with the idea that he has resources to be the most human that he's ever been?
Brady does have a team. There's no way around getting the kind of content. I mean, that Photoshop that he had with Drew Brees, it's insane how good it was. I mean, the History Channel.
Yeah, the History Channel.
Oh, gosh.
It
was incredible.
Yeah.
Yes, it was incredible. So he has a team.
Tom Brady's not learning Photoshop is what we're declaring definitively here. Yes.
Well, how would the guy have any time to study his playbook, let alone spend time with his family? So he has a team that he works with, but he works really closely with them. Anything that's coming, you know, out of his social media channels he's got to sign off on it. And talking to his former teammates, like Dante Stallworth, he had told me, he's like, no, that's, even though he has a team, that is like, it's in Brady's voice. He said that team does a heck of a job capturing his voice.
I love the mental image of like Tom Brady sitting in what I imagine is a boardroom with his social media team, and they're like workshopping. They're like Mad Men-ing memes. I like the idea of Brady as Don Draper getting pitches from his underlings as to what to put on Instagram.
It's a good point. And it's like, do you have mock-ups of these memes? Do you have to, like, I mean, are there multiple ones you get to choose from? Because, I mean, the guy obviously employs some extremely talented people.
Well, they're
so
good.
It's like, okay, right? And so it's like, okay, well, how in-depth do they go on this? I've always kind of wondered that. And it's so on brand with his sense of humor that is, it's very much like self-deprecation. Like, the
well,
guy,
that's...
He makes
important.
Fun of himself.
Yes, which, no, that's
and
that's,
that humanizes
that's
him.
It's totally endearing, Jenna, when you have someone who has won 7 Super Bowls, and even me, who is like predisposed to be fairly cynical about all of this, when you have the ability to laugh at yourself and be the butt of a joke and sort of roll with it, it's hard not to like that person more than you did before.
Absolutely.
How much of that is a jab at the workplace he used to be in? How much of that is a jab at the Patriot way and at Bill Belichick? Because it feels also, in a certain way, like this is kind of a rebellious teenager going off to college, as much as he is 44 years old now, but he's kind of out of the house. He can kind of do what he wants for the first time.
It's the new environment. He's really happy here. He enjoys himself. He's always careful about what he says about his former team. He's always really careful not to say anything that could be perceived as a jab with them or towards them, I should say. He was so buttoned up there, and all the players there, they don't like to do anything, or they're encouraged not to do anything to take away from the team. And it's just not like that down here in Tampa. Arians doesn't really care what guys do. It's you know, he allows them to be a little bit freer, if you will. So, you know, I that's a big part of it, is the changing environment. And he's just talked about what a breath of fresh air being in a new environment is, and being able to kind of undertake a new sort of challenge of coming down here.
So when you step back, Jenna, and you take in Tom Brady in summer, as we stand here today in August of 2021, 44 years old, 7-time champion, all of that, how do you describe your sense of who the real Tom Brady is?
Who's the real Tom? I think he's always been the same guy. It's just now he is, this is me, take it or leave it. This is who I am. I am going to be present. I am going to work my tail off because I'm consumed with winning, because I never want to see anybody else winning. I want it all for me, because you know the guy just absolutely just, he's obsessed with winning, as a lot of the great ones are. Michael Jordan, another example. But he's going to enjoy himself too. I also think football is still everything to him, but it's not the only thing. His family is very important to him, and he's talked about that, because everybody's like, oh, maybe he can play beyond 45. I think 45 might be the cutoff for him.
Really?
He said that for a long time.
That's the line.
But I think that it's not just because, okay, like, football wouldn't force him out. If he's going to leave football, it's because he wants to be the devoted husband and father that he know he needs to be. I mean, he had the house to himself for 12 days leading up to the Super Bowl. I mean, that was by design. He wanted some peace and quiet. He wanted to be able to focus. That is a big sacrifice. And so I think it's important to him to make sure that, you know, when this is all said and done, or when he feels like he's been fulfilled, he's gonna devote a lot of time to spending time with Giselle and the kids, and being a present and loving husband and father. That's very important to him.
Jenna, I feel like there is one thing that is safe to say about Tom Brady's retired life, and that is, no matter what, he will find time for his family, yes, and he will find time for his skincare regimen.
His skin just continues to look flawless. So whatever sweat-proof sunscreen he's using, or maybe he's got a UV-protected helmet. I mean, I wear a UV sun hat when I go to practice because I don't want any more wrinkles. I don't want those things coming. So whatever he's doing a terrific job. But I absolutely need to know what eye cream he's using.
Jenna Lane, our Tampa Bay native, our Tampa Bay correspondent, thank you for all your insight into how the Buccaneers are staying so young.
Oh, yes. My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Pablo. And I'll get to the bottom of this eye cream. I'll find out what his skincare regimen is because the people want to know.
That is the investigation that we need. All right, coming up, why a seismic shakeup in the state of New York may have major implications for everyone wearing Zubaz along Lake Erie.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here's another story I want you to know. So, thanks to the resignation of the disgraced Andrew Cuomo, the state of New York is swearing in its first female governor this month, Kathy Hochul. Hochul has served as Cuomo's lieutenant governor since 2015, and yesterday, she formally reintroduced herself to the country and to her constituents.
I will fight like hell for you every single day, like I've always done and always will. Thank you very much. I look forward to your questions. I'll be starting the questions by asking Jerry Zaremski from the Buffalo News. Jerry Zaremski? Hometown favorite, sorry.
Now, as a New Yorker, I will be honest here. I know next to nothing about Kathy Hochul or her platform or her policies. But if her accent didn't make it inordinately clear there, she is a real live Buffalonian, which also means that she is a very real Bills fan. As she expressed before her Bills played the Ravens in the playoffs back in January.
We're glad there's going to be fans in the stands once again to cheer on Josh Allen and the entire team of amazing Bills. So they've made us proud. We are really, after all these decades, we're truly talking proud today.
But Hochul's status as Bills Mafia's first governor is more than just symbolically meaningful here. It might prove crucial to the very existence of this franchise, because Bills owners Terry and Kim Pegula are reportedly asking New York taxpayers to pay the estimated $1 billion needed to build a brand new stadium for their team in Orchard Park. And in recent weeks, in fact, we've heard of threats to relocate the Bills from Buffalo to Austin, Texas, for instance, if the Pegulas don't get what they want. Now, it would be an understatement to say that Bills fans are upset by these talks. I mean, for one thing, Buffalo is a city that lives and dies, and as you've probably heard now, jumps into flaming tables for their team. And also, if you just want to Google Terry Pegula plus net worth here for a second, you may discover that he is worth, according to Bloomberg, around $7 billion. The guy does not need the public's money. So enter, suddenly, Governor Kathy Hochul, who does not sound like she's about to cheer for the Austin Bills, as she explained this month.
We are committed to keeping the Buffalo Bills in the city of Buffalo. Stop. Period. That's it. We are committed.
Look, I don't know what kind of governor Governor Hochul's gonna be overall. I have no idea how she's gonna combat COVID or finally fix the New York City subway system or a zillion other things. But for Buffalo's sake, we hope she makes the Pegulas pay and that she keeps her word and does right by her Bills. Just not, you know, wide right. I'm Pablo Torre, and this has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.